One of the greatest needs that we see today is the need for healing. Every day we hear of these corona cases increasing, and it's coming closer and closer. You know, it used to be somebody I know, now it's in the neighborhood, next it's in our building, and there is cause for concern, there's cause for this. But in the midst of all, and it's just not the corona cases. You know, if you're going through the prayer lists, you'll see the amount of different needs for healing that have come up. There's Vijaya's mother with her heart issue, left ventricle not functioning, and the kidneys have failed. Then there's Suhas Kulkarni, this friend of mine, you know, fine young Christian guy, suddenly brain tumor, it's cancerous, and he's requiring a healing. And there are so many others like this. And when we face these things, we can feel so down. You know, I feel down when I look at the great need that is out there. And I say, Lord, you know, there's so much sin, there's so much sickness in the world, but Lord, you are the answer. And how can we be part of the answer? And so as we look to God's word this morning, you know, we've got to focus on what God's word says. That's where the truth is. So will you turn with me to Acts chapter 5? And we're going to look at verses 12 to 16. And, you know, when you get depressed, when we look around the world, we will get depressed. But as we look to God's word, he lifts our head up high. Okay? So let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. And I'm reading here. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. What an amazing time that was. What an amazing time in the book of Acts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word is living and active. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint me as I speak. Lord, your words are life, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, life would flow into our bodies, Lord. That your Spirit would be poured out upon us, Lord. And that we faith would arise. And that we would be the people you want us to be in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Think of what life may have been 2,000 years ago when Acts 5 happened. What an amazing thing, okay? Thousands of people coming to faith. Mighty signs and wonders happening. I mean, just read what's happening here. Acts 15. People brought the sick and placed them on the streets so that when Peter walked by, his shadow would fall upon them and they would be healed. Amazing power. Okay, crowds gathered from Jerusalem. When people around Jerusalem, from the towns around Jerusalem, heard about this, they also brought their sick. They brought their demon-possessed. And those who were tormented by evil spirits. And it says all of them were healed. Don't you just wish we could live in times like that when we see such mighty works of God happening? Yeah. Now, the world has not changed much in the area of sickness since 2,000 years ago. We still have people sick, all, you know, with different kinds of sicknesses. And I just want you to remember Tim Keller, who pastors this church in New York, Redeemer Church. He's been diagnosed with cancer. We heard of Ravi Zacharias, who died a few weeks ago. And sickness is there, you know. And we still have people afflicted with all kinds of diseases. But what I'd like to put forward this morning is that, you know, the early church advanced through the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders. Okay, the gospel was preached, signs and wonders took place, and we too must desire the same. Okay, we should not accept our experience and be content with what we are experiencing and say, okay, this is how it is. But we've got to look at God's word and say, Lord, you did it then. Can you do it again? Okay, now, so let's look at that. So that's the big idea I'd like to share with you this morning. So in the midst of this onslaught of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, as Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus came to bring his kingdom on earth. Now, what can we do? What's our response to this? And let's look at that this morning. So the first thing we've got to look at is when people are healed, we've got to realize that God is glorified. And really, it's all about God's glory. Okay, it's not self-glory. If people are healed, God is glorified. You know, turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Okay, so the point is that when this man who was dead came to life again, the result was people praised God. We see the same thing happening in Matthew 15, verses 30 to 31. Okay, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Wow. Acts chapter 2, the same thing happened when the man who was lame, Acts chapter 3, the man who was lame was healed. What happened? He went around walking and jumping and praising God. So the first thing I want to say that is, hey, healings are good because they bring glory to God. So we should seek them. Why? Because God is glorified. Okay? Don't you want to see God glorified? Yes, we do. You know, and really when we see God, Jesus, triumphing over disease and triumphing over sickness, he gets the glory. The second thing that happens is this, that when miracles take place, or when healings take place, people are saved. There is a great connection between the power of God and salvation. Okay? On the day of Pentecost, the power of God came down through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, wind, and all that happened, and it got the attention of the people, and it opened the door for Peter to preach the gospel. Okay, so just we got to just note one thing here. It's signs and wonders don't save people. Signs and wonders open the door for the preaching of the gospel. It's only the preaching of the gospel that can save people. But signs and wonders open the way for the gospel to be preached. Okay? So on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 saved. Peter and John healed the lame man. And it tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, you know, nevertheless, more and more women and men believed in the Lord and were added to their number. In Acts chapter 4, we see another 2,000 people were added to their number. So there's no doubt that when there is power, there is opportunity to preach the gospel and salvation. If you go through the book of Acts, you'll see there are 17 instances when signs and wonders take place and people are saved. However, there's a vast difference between the experience of the apostles and the early church and our present experience. We are not seeing the kinds of signs and wonders that the early church saw. But I tell you, we are seeing some healings happening in some places and sometimes. Okay? Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories. Here's one story. There's a friend of ours from a Parsi background. He's in church in Bombay. And, you know, Parsis, again, difficult to come to faith. But this is what happened. His children were very unwell. They went to a multitude of doctors. Nothing. Okay? They were not getting healed. They had a high fever and it was just not subsiding. Finally, somebody said, you know, you take them to this prayer meeting, they'll pray and Jesus will heal them. So he took his children there. They were prayed and they got healed. Hallelujah. That opened the door for him to hear the gospel. And today, you know, 25, 30 years later, he is a strong believer. He and his family have turned to faith and have not looked back. You know? So there is a role for signs and wonders in our midst. What we must not do is to take our experience of not seeing healings and not seeing signs and wonders and say that this is normal and let's settle for it. Okay? That's not the normal. Okay? We want to see God's kingdom come on earth. Now, some people excuse the normal and they say, you know, the signs and wonders were only for the early church. Healings were only for the early church. And then they fulfill their purpose and we don't have them anymore. This is how Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones counters this. He says, it is perfectly clear that in the New Testament times, the gospel was authenticated in this way by signs, wonders, and miracles. Was it only meant to be true of the early church? The scriptures never anywhere say that these things were only temporary. Never. There is no such statement anywhere. Right. So, two things to look at. Number one is signs, wonders, miracles, healings will bring glory to God. Number two, they open the door for the gospel to be preached. Okay? Now, I want to encourage you and say that, look, you know, you too can be used by God to pray for the sick. That's it. You too can be used by God. Would you like to be used by God? Now, we often think of signs and wonders and we think of great evangelists and big ministries. Okay? They have their role. But really, God wants each one of us to just reach out to people who are sick and pray for them. That's a loving thing to do. That's the thing that will bring glory to God. So let me share with you a few things. Three things that you and I can do to be used by God. Okay. The first thing is this. We need to spend time with Jesus. You know, we want to be used by God, but let's spend time with Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's be clear. You know, it's as we spend time with Jesus, his power is made manifest in our lives. John 15 verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay? Spending time with Jesus. The second thing we can do is we've got to actually ask for signs and wonders. We've got to expect them. In Acts chapter 4, the early church prayed, verse 29, now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay, the early church prayed for signs and wonders. We should unashamedly pray for the same. That is an apostolic prayer. Okay, pray, Lord, as I pray for my neighbors, stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Okay? Now, this everybody, every Christian is included in this mandate. Okay? In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I want you to just fix your minds on these words. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, listen, you're impressed with all the miracles I've done. I'll tell you what, you will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That's amazing. You know? And we've got to, now, we're not seeing the reality of it yet, but we've got to take Jesus' words, meditate upon them and say, Lord, what did you mean by this? Use me, Lord, to do greater things. Okay, greater things. And that's what Jesus is promising us. Okay, so, like I said, thirdly, you can be used by God. But the way we can be used by God is we need to do something. And one is develop our intimacy with Jesus. Number two, we need to actually ask for signs and wonders. Okay, unashamedly, the early church asked, we can ask. Okay, and bring to mind, say, Jesus, you promised I will do greater things. What are those greater things, Lord? Help me. The third thing we need to do is, you see, Jesus' miracles stemmed from a compassionate heart. Okay, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick." You see, Jesus' heart was touched. Okay, even as we looked earlier at the widow's son that was healed, it says his heart was filled with compassion. And we need to let our heart be moved when we encounter people with great need. Okay, we need to say, Lord, pour out your compassion in my heart that I would feel for these people and I would be able to pray for them and see them healed. Okay, in Matthew 20 verse 34, we see the same thing happening where the blind man is healed. It says, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Okay, so Jesus was moved with compassion. In Mark 1 verse 41, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That's the man with the leprosy, and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Okay, so you see, Jesus responded to need with great compassion in his heart. And so can we be a people who are saying, Lord, when I encounter somebody who's in deep need, Lord, may your compassion flow in my heart that I would feel for them. And not just feel for them, but then go ahead and do something. Offer a prayer of faith. Okay, so you can be used by God. What do we need to do? Spend time with Jesus. Okay, ask God for signs and wonders like the early church did. Okay. Ask Jesus to put his compassion in your heart so that you will feel for those who are suffering. And the fourth thing to do is actually to look for opportunities to pray for the sick. Look for opportunities. I tell you, God will give you opportunities even in the midst of this lockdown. You know, my mother-in-law Nini lives with us and she's so passionate to share the gospel and to pray for the sick. Now she's 83 years old. She doesn't get out of the house. Who's she going to share the gospel with? You know, I'll tell you what she's done. She walks on our terrace every evening for 20 minutes or so. And there are other ladies who walk there. And during that walk, she made friends with some of them. And a few weeks back, she shared the gospel with them. Okay? She said, I'm just feeling I need to share the gospel. She shared the gospel with them. Great. Last week, or was it this week? You know, one of them came up to her and said, Auntie, will you pray for my mother? Will you pray for my mother-in-law? Wow. If we are open and if we are willing to pray for the sick, God can touch the hearts of people and bring them to us where we can pray for them. Okay? What God is looking for is, are we willing? Are we willing? James 5:13 says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Okay? And it ends by saying the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Verse 17 says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Really, what James is saying is, hey, if anybody is in trouble, anybody is sick, let's go and pray for them. Anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make them well. So let's look for opportunities to pray for the sick. Okay. So this morning, we know that there is a great need all throughout. And you may be thinking, but I'm just an ordinary Christian. You know, can God use you? Of course, God can use all of us. There are some who are specially gifted. Praise God for that. But we don't know those who are specially gifted. I was listening to Bill Johnson, and he was sharing about how, while he was leading a church, today many people are being healed at Bethel. They have a school of ministry that has a couple of thousand people. Wow, that's a couple of thousand people coming there only to study about healing and evangelism. Okay? But he said when he started out, he says he prayed for people in the church and nobody got healed. Have you had that experience? Yeah, you pray and nothing happens. And I think, you know, God sometimes wants to test our faithfulness. Will we continue to pray in faith? Because really, it's faith that matters. To step out in faith, even when we don't see the results, but just believing God upon His word. And he said, that's what he did. He said, and then one day, there was a change. Okay? So, I'm going to leave that with you this morning. And to say, there is a great need in the world today. All kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases. Okay, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Okay, let's open our hearts when we encounter people who are sick. Cancer, COVID-19, heart disease, all kinds of sicknesses. May the compassion of Jesus flow into our hearts for those people. Okay, let's spend time with Jesus and say, Lord, would you heal, Lord? You know, this is what happened in Acts. All of them were healed. We ask God to come into the situation. Let's look for opportunities. Let's pray and say, God, you stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders. And let's take steps of faith and pray for people. Okay? Pray for them in the name of Jesus. And really, you know, at the end of the day, if you look around, we say, sometimes we see people healed, sometimes we don't. We don't bind God in any way. But we go by His word and say, Lord, you do it, Lord. We will be faithful. That's what we are called to do. We are called to just be faithful, to reach out in love, to pray in faith, and we leave the results up to God. Amen. 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 So this morning I just want to just pray for us this morning that faith would rise up in our hearts. You know, the need is great. The need is great. But can you just put your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, anoint me, Lord. Anoint me. Yeah. Lord, we see such great need in the world today. The need for healing from sickness and the need for salvation from sin. Lord, I pray that as we stand on your word this morning, that you would come with great power and anoint us. That as we lay hands on the sick, they will be made well. That as people are healed, the door would open for the gospel to be preached and people would be saved. Lord, we ask you to use us. Lord, we ask you to use us. Lord, we come against every work of the enemy and we usher in the kingdom of God into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.